Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Hello and welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. We are still reading Dark Spectrum. Last week we read. I held my breath, hoping I wasn't about to hear the click of the lock. For the benefit of anybody who might have been watching, I mimed pulling the door, but didn't pull it open. Swearing, I reached into my pocket for my wallet with the other hand and held it to the sensor before I opened the door. If somebody had been watching, it should have looked like I'd tried to catch it before it shut, but didn't make it and had used my own keycard to enter. I held my breath as I walked in. The woman had already disappeared. Once the door clicked behind me, I let out a sigh before climbing the stairs. And now, episode 23. Ronald lived on the fourth floor, and I resisted the urge to run up the stairs. I wasn't in a hurry. I had plenty of time. The one thing I needed to do now was avoid calling attention to myself. I needed to look like I belonged in the building. On the first landing, I closed my eyes and took several deep breaths, imagining I had just got home from a late night at work. It wasn't easy to put myself into the shoes of an ordinary working man, but I did my best. After a minute, my heartbeat had slowed and I wasn't so antsy. I slumped my shoulders and went up the stairs. Just another man heading home after a late night at the office. It was a good thing I'd exercised the self-control because on the second floor I ran into the woman who I'd followed into the building. She was on her way back down with a bag over her shoulder that she had not had before. We made eye contact. I gave her a mirthless smile I hoped conveyed a sense of fatigue, but she looked away without a word. If she were concerned that I did not have the right to be there, it didn't show on her face. Glad I'd taken the time to relax, I continued past while trying to not think about what she might have done if she had found me pounding up the stairs like I was going to accuse somebody of kidnapping children. The stairway was a stark affair with white cinder block walls and metal stairs. The handrails had been painted white recently. Each floor had emergency telephones that were several decades old. I was surprised to see them still in service considering everybody had a cell phone these days. I was relieved when I got to the fourth floor without a problem. I stepped out into the corridor as if I belonged and tried to avoid looking over my shoulder. Ronald Essler was in room 415. As I approached his door, I took note of the security cameras on the far wall and assumed there was one behind me, but did not turn to look. I could have done without the cameras, but as my purpose would be accomplished before anybody thought to review them, I trusted to my disguise. Ronald's door was locked, so I pulled open my lockpick set and envisioned what I was going to do. I stood as close to the door as possible, so on the offhand chance a guard watched the cameras in real time, I was doing my best to obscure his view. I plunged the tools into the door lock and went to work. In moments, I had it unlocked and twisted the handle. When I opened the door, I heard the tinkle of a chain and had to refrain from laughing. Of course there would be a chain. I took a step back, put my shoulder down, and barreled through the door, ripping the chain clean off the door jamb. If there was a guard watching, I had his attention. Ronald stood from a couch with a tablet clutched to his chest. I pulled out my pistol and pointed it at him, motioning to the wall. "Who are you?" he asked. "What do you want?" I did not respond as I closed the distance and pushed the barrel of my pistol into his ribs. I ripped the tablet from his hands and saw he had Data Raider's personal security app open. It was flashing, indicating he had pressed the alarm button. Cursing, I held down the power button and turned off the tablet. I didn't need it recording our conversation. It wasn't as intrusive as Spectrum, but I knew that once the button was pressed, it would record for 5 minutes. "Who are you? Why are you doing this?" Ronald's voice was firm, but his hand shook. I was impressed he was able to maintain a sense of calm. "Don't recognize me?" I asked. He relaxed. "Jake, I would have let you up. You didn't need to break in. Sheesh, man, you about gave me a heart attack." I was taken aback. Considering all the lies on the news, I would have expected him to fear me. I studied his face looking for any sign of deception, and I found none. "You don't think I'm guilty?" I asked. He laughed. "A matter of perspective. I know Peck set you up. You weren't the first scapegoat, and you won't be the last. When I saw the video the other day, I knew it was not you." I was at a loss for words. Shannon had been fooled, and even Chris and Cherry had their doubts. But a man I barely knew believed me. "Would you mind?" He looked at my gun. "That's not necessary." I pulled it from his ribcage while fighting a feeling of sheepishness. Whether he knew about it or not, he was involved with an organization that kidnapped children. My actions were warranted. It was up to him to convince me he had nothing to do with this. I'd become so used to thinking of everybody as an enemy, I hadn't thought Ronald would be open to talking with me. "I'm sorry," I said while scrutinizing his face. "The last 6 months have messed me up." "No kidding," he said. "If you give me back my tablet, I'll report it was a false alarm. We don't need a security team showing up at my door and asking questions. Do you agree?" What he said made sense, but I hesitated. "Do you have Spectrum installed on it, too?" He snorted. "I don't want Peck stealing my data." "You didn't think you're the only person with a profile, did you? They're building one on everybody, even children. It's sickening. You'd be surprised at how much they've collected. Before too long, common people won't be able to move around without Diagon knowing everything about what they're doing and who they're doing it with." He shook his head. "People have no idea what they're giving away. Peck's going to rule the world. Worse yet, people are just giving him the means." Ron wasn't at all what I was expecting. If he believed what he said, it was refreshing to have somebody share my views of Peck. I felt bad about the bruise he'd have from my pistol, but refused to let it touch me. Not yet. Not until he had convinced me. "Somebody with a little sense," I said, feigning relief. "Is that why you left? How are you getting information out of Blackbrick?" he asked. He spoke as if Blackbrick was still in play. The hair on the back of my neck stood on end. "Blackbrick was shut down," I said. Ronald Rock backed on his heels. "You don't know." He held out his hand. "Data Raider will be here soon if I don't stop it. Let me take care of that while we talk." I handed him the tablet, hoping I would not regret it. "Blackbrick is active," he said, while he waited for the tablet to power up. "It never shut down. It just moved. They still call themselves Blackbrick. It's a running joke that they're hiding in plain sight." "The people are still there," I said. "They just work for Diagon. They're not doing any new recruiting." Or so I had been told, I thought. "If you talk to Shannon, Tom, or Cherry," he said, "that's what you're going to hear, because that is what they have been told to say." "Kids are still being recruited?" My voice rose as I spoke. I took a deep breath to calm down. "I have no evidence," he said, "but yes, I believe so. Blackbrick changed headquarters and leadership, nothing more. It barely missed a step when you took out Beltran." I put my pistol away in my messenger bag, afraid to have it in hand while I had so much anger coursing through me. "This can't be. Who did Peck put in charge?" "I have no idea," he said. "We've got to stop them." "Hence the reason you could have talked to me without breaking in," he said. "We are on the same side. What they're doing is evil." My eyes narrowed. "Data Raider is kidnapping children." Ronald looked startled. "That isn't true," he said at last. "It can't be." I laughed bitterly. "You never considered they recruited you because of your experience with Blackbrick? I can assure you it is true. You're in charge of internships, aren't you?" "Yes," he said. "We have some high school kids participating in the program. None of those kids stayed past 3 months." "Margaret," I said. "Margaret Cox." Ronald's eyes narrowed. "I remember that name. She was in a spring internship program." "Have you kept in touch with her since she left?" I asked. "Of course not," he said. "A bright girl, to be sure, and we might offer her another internship in college, but I've no reason to maintain contact. Why do you ask?" I stared at him, studying every aspect of his face for the slightest hint of a lie. He met my glare without reservation. I saw nothing other than genuine concern for Margaret. What happened to her? Ron opened an internet browser window on his tablet. "Prepare yourself," I said. Ronald let out a gasp as he pulled up an article about the car accident her parents had died in. "Missing? She's missing? This can't be." "It is," I said. He looked up. "Data Raider had nothing to do with this." "Are you sure?" I asked. "Can you tell me you know everything that goes on there?" "Of course not. That's a ridiculous question." I laid it all out for him. I was kidnapped by Reed Warner. It felt good to say it aloud. I hated being circumspect about the truth. The man had such a squeaky clean image, I was glad to tell somebody. Ron let out a laugh. That's just ridiculous. His laughter died when he saw the look on my face. You're not joking. Seems like I would be, doesn't it? If I were to point to anybody on television and say I have a friend, he would have been the guy. I was at the Market Street bombing. I could have run. I should have stayed, but I stayed to help those in danger. You were there? I was walking by when it happened. On my way out, I was taken captive by a team of six men. Sam was the name of their leader. Reed's chief bodyguard is named Sam, Ron said. But you could have found that out. Next thing I knew, I was in a warehouse with a sack over my head. Reed was there when it was taken off. He wanted to recruit me. Did he say what for? I didn't give him time. What warehouse? I shrugged, wasn't paying attention. I didn't think it would help my case for him to know it was leased by a toy company. Reed spoke of Beltram many times, with admiration. He asked me about how I was recruited. Another child is missing. Benji Hansen. That name mean anything to you? Ron shook his head. No. Did Reed tell you he was kidnapping children? Of course not. If you find me evidence, maybe. But just showing up on my doorstep with stories. He took a breath. I need proof. Hard, undeniable proof. I shook my head. Look into Reed's security team. Two are missing because they are dead. I shot them. Ron frowned and did not respond for several seconds. I'm not on a first-name basis with Reed Warner, he said. I wouldn't know where to begin. I held up my hands. That's the only corroboration I can offer you. Okay, he said. I'll look into it, but you have to do something for me. What? I asked. Call ahead next time.
That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LC.